All right, let's go ahead and open up to John chapter 1. Good morning. We're going to start this new series in the Gospel of John this year. And it's a very good series to understand the foundation, some foundational principles of what we believe in. So some things I was wanting to do as I think about presenting this, it's one, some breakdown of the scripture passage that we have and to set up future messages and speakers, but also to think about what are some of the implications of understanding Jesus Christ as the Son of God and to think about that. So that's what I would like to do as we move forward, okay? So the deity of Christ, the Gospel of John, and then we're going to cover today the first five verses and the setup of that. So let's just read that from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and thank you for this day. We thank you for your precious word, which gives us understanding, Lord, and the Holy Spirit that leads us, Lord, and teaches us. Lord, I pray that you give us help, Lord, as we begin this series on the study of the Gospel of John, Lord, that we may grow closer to you, Lord, not just to understand it in an academic way, Lord, but to make it practical in our everyday life, Lord, that we would grow intimately with you and to follow after you and obey you. Lord, I thank you for the dear ones here and the dear ones that may listen to this message. Lord, may you richly bless us by your teaching and your word. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, to think about the deity of Christ, this is the most controversial subject, I would say, in religions, in different religions, in understanding of Jesus, because there's so much that is based off of the deity of Christ and the understanding of it. The deity of Christ is at the utmost important center of any believer's Christian faith, because their understanding of Christ must be central and determinative of the very character of the Christian faith. We base our foundational belief in Christ on who he is, on what he did, and what he means today for the Christian faith and life of the church. Now, I want you guys to think about, you know, these Gospels, the four Gospels, and how they're written to different audiences, but also the why and how it gives us a different perspective of why they presented it in that way. You know, Matthew had a specific reason, right, to the Jewish audience, the genealogy, Luke, Mark. Mark, I really enjoy Mark because it talks a lot about what did Jesus do, what was his ministry, and how did he connect in that way. And John has a very specific purpose, and I want to present that to you today in understanding the deity of Christ. So I want you guys to think, and I want to give you homework also, if I can. Like I told you, I listened to Mark Ferguson's message. This was in September of 2022. This was part of the We Believe series, if you remember that series. He did such a wonderful job of explaining the why, of why we should understand this. It should be really specific to our hearts in our everyday faith. And not to take it out of the realm of just studying it doctrinally or academically, but to personalize it. Why is the deity of Christ important? Why should it be important to me? And that's some of the thoughts I want to bring out to you today. But I really urge you guys to go back and listen to Mark's message in the We Believe series. So these are the four questions I want to start off with. Why is the deity of Christ so important to the Christian faith? What did Jesus say that would support his divinity? What views have developed that diminish the deity of Christ, and are they still being taught? Okay, and you could also always just say yes, because it is being taught right now. And what does this mean for us today within the body of Christ? What are the implications of knowing the deity of Christ? Why is it important? Okay, I'm not going to answer these in order. We'll touch on these questions, but very specific. Why is the deity of Christ so important to the Christian faith? What did Jesus say about his own support of his divinity? And we looked at that even this morning in John and in other places. What views that refute this, and what does this mean today within the body of Christ? So follow with me here. I'm going to go a little fast because I want to make sure I get everything in the at the end as well. So just examining the text, I want you guys to think about, why did John, different from the other Gospels, start in this way? Okay? And the thesis I want to think about, and as the different speakers go throughout this year covering, is the thesis of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Why was this so important? And you think about, we read in John chapter 8, and we'll look at that again, this was the ultimate claim, right? He had to be who he is to redeem the world, right? He had to be divine. He had to be the Son of God. He had to make atonement for man's sin. So how is he to make atonement as fully human, but he had to be fully divine, right? Why was this so important? In the Jewish mind, this was of critical importance. Because it's either blasphemy, he was either a liar or a lunatic, or what? He was really who he claimed to be. Lord. That was a profound thing to understand, but also a profound thing to say, blasphemy. So in our hearts, we have to make this consideration, right? And how does this relate to my everyday life? How does the deity of Christ relate to my everyday life? So I want to present it this way to you. And I can't take credit of this. This is something I was studying in multiple books this week. But I thought it was such an awesome, I just thought this was really good, the way to understand it. The thesis of Gospel of John is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this thesis is presented when you write a paper, a research paper, right? You have to make your thesis in a way, and then you have to do supporting arguments, right? So what is the thesis of John, and how does he represent this, right? So he starts with John 1:1 with declarative statements, right? And there's three statements that he makes in these three verses, John 1:1, John 14, and John 1:18. So the first is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right, and then most powerful. This is probably the second most memorized verse when I was growing up in Awana. They wanted us to know this a lot. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Okay? Now, I want you guys to think, you have these statements in these three verses, and then after them, you have supporting thoughts of why he's declaring this. So Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To understand the life and ministry of Jesus Christ is to be understood from the perspective of, where does he go? The thought of eternity, right? Why does John... You know, usually when you talk, you only talk from the present and future, right? But he makes these statements as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the thought of perspective of eternity. Okay? So I want to show you this. So you see these statements, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. 14, you see those breakdowns there, right? How about if we mix these to understand the thesis better, okay? So you put first 1 and 14 together. What is John saying? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, okay? And the Word was with God, but the Word dwelt among us. And the Word was God, full of grace and truth. So how in this, he's talking and proving Jesus Christ not only was with God, but as God, he came, dwelt, became flesh, dwelt among us, and we see the character of God, full of grace and truth. This is the thesis of John, right? Full of Jesus Christ, Son of God. And this is what he came to say. This is who he is, right? How about we do this again? You look here. In the beginning was the Word, okay? This thought, and I don't want to be technical here, but this was let me make sure I get this right. A verb imperfect tense meaning a continuous state. In the beginning was. This was is not from in our mindset of when creation was. No. This was a continuous state. Jesus Christ was already. You understand? John is making this point. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the Word was with God. Continually. Not at creation, before creation. And the Word was God. Illustrates, describes Jesus' eternality, personality, and purpose. And then you have these supporting thoughts. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And we're going to look at these thoughts. All things. He was part of creation. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. You put verse 1, 14, and 18 together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No man hath seen God at any time. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us, full of grace and truth, the only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. These are small words but have huge meaning because John is proving the deity of Christ. I don't know about you all, but this gives me more and more assurance into my faith. It gives me something that I could be at awe with in God, in God's plan and God's purpose. And I don't know, for me, it causes me to be like blown away and worship. Like God had such an awesome way of not only sending a plan and sending his Son, but to give us the Word of God to describe it and to give us understanding. So I want us to think about, sorry, let me go back here real quick. Well, going back again, this was an imperfect verb, right? A continuous state. It's a thought of age of existence, not creation, but before. And it gives us an understanding for finite beings like ourselves to understand, right? Even the thought of word, right? Why would John use this terminology in regards to Jesus? You know, this is a very common word, logos, that he uses. And it's a word that is both understood in the Greek and the Hebrew, but there's a specific reason why he uses word. In the Greek mindset, what's the highest form of Greek? What do they think is the highest form of understanding? reason, right? They think reason and thought is the highest form. But in the Hebrew mindset, you can't stop at reason or you can't start at reason. There must be a thinker for the reason. So John's purpose was bringing this word logos. In the Hebrew mindset, there is an ultimate thinker. And this thinker was always been continuous thought. This term, logos, was used broadly in the ancient world, but had different meanings. I'll just read you this. In the Hebrew mindset, the Greek mindset was thought or reason, and there cannot be the beginning. It must have started with a mind, as the Hebrews thought, as a thinker and God. This is an Old Testament term, word. It speaks to the message of God, which came to the prophets as his revelation to men. So he uses this word as an Old Testament word. In the Old Testament, this is God's word in the Old Testament is his powerful self-expression in creation, revelation, and salvation. And the personification of that word makes it suitable for John to apply it as a title to God's ultimate self-disclosure of the person of his own son, Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about the various uses of these words, logos, because it dates back to the Old Testament use of God's self-expression or self-disclosure. So in using it for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's making a huge thought here. Jesus Christ is God's word. Self-expression, self-disclosure, and the personal expression of God to man. You know, some people will be like, why didn't he just say Jesus? Why didn't he just use that word? No. Jesus' word, the Holy Spirit, led these men to write and to tie it to things that they understood to say, look, God has fulfilled. God has fulfilled all his promises and all his prophetic thoughts to the Messiah, the foretold Messiah. Here he is. He has been declared. He has been self-expressed. God, his only begotten Son. Here he is. Come and know him. He has come to save your soul. Understand, he's always been. He's not just a prophet. He's not just some good man with great higher morals. He's the very Son of God expressed to you and I. Come and worship him as he is. This is the reason why we understand these things. Just one last thought here. The Word was with God and the Word was God describes infinite God with wisdom and personality, and it shows us more of who God is. How do we understand this more? You know, I've shared some of these thoughts with you on Thursday night, and I just really enjoy studying the deity of Christ throughout the whole Bible. It's not just New Testament. It has been spoken of all of old. Micah 5:2, during Christmas time, we looked at that. Whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting, right? Hebrews 1:1, we're going through that on Thursday night. God, who at various times and various ways spoke to in times past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us or declared his word to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. This is huge. Who being the brightness of his glory and expressed image of his person and upholding all the things by the word of his power. The self-expression of God himself fully is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came with a purpose. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This goes back to our study on in John 1:1. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that were on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. This attributes the triune God fully in part with creation. sustaining all things, creating all things, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. A mere prophet, a mere man, cannot be attributed to these things. Any other religion, Islam or whatever you want to call it, that says that he was a mere man, mere prophet, or even some sects of old Christianity that said he was not fully divine at incarnation or fully divine at crucifixion and resurrection. How can you get past these verses? You see, their system of thought, of religious thought, cannot comprehend it, right? So that's why you must use these things in Scripture to reiterate. John 17:5, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Jesus Christ himself attributing these things to himself, right? He's self-declaring these things. This is the high priestly prayer, right? His own high priestly prayer. With the glory which I had with you before the world was. Some, you know, there are some beliefs in Christianity that says Jesus was formed at creation. I don't know if you ever heard of that. That Jesus only came into being at creation. He was before, right? And he had a glory before creation. Glory. John 8:58-59. This is an awesome passage. I really love studying this now. I'm right here. This is awesome. Because the Pharisees and the scribes respond to his own declarations, right? So there's no misconstruing the meaning of what Jesus is saying, because they respond with what? Stones. They respond to his saying, blasphemy, liar, lunatic. You're crazy. Because what did he say? Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham, I am." They absolutely understood what this meant. This is God. God in himself, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Their very action of picking up stones, they understood what he was saying. And Jesus was declaring, "I am." This is interesting. I find these kind of, even the enemies of Jesus responding in ways gives us understanding that Jesus himself was claiming that he was very God. What do we see next? So I want us to go back to the questions that we had, right? Why is the deity of Christ so important to the Christian faith? Why did Jesus say that would support? What did Jesus say that would support his divinity? We just looked at that. So I want to look now at what views have developed that diminish the deity of Christ, and are they still being taught? What does this mean for us today within the body of Christ? There's many thoughts about Jesus, right? Many different sects. I just want to bring in two of the earliest that sort of departing from Jesus as the Son of God. And the reasoning of why teaching Scripture was so important in the first century as well as today. Because first you think about this, Ebionism, a sect of heretical Jewish Christians who denied the real ontological deity of Jesus, the very nature of who he said he was. They rejected the virgin birth, right? The incarnation. In December, we looked at that a lot, the incarnation of Christ, right? How it was, he was born of Mary, but not of Joseph, right? It was of God, of the Holy Spirit. Christ came upon Jesus at his baptism. You know, they believe that when the dove came down, that's when he became Christ. Or it withdrew before the crucifixion. They say probably around the Garden of Gethsemane when he was sweating drops of blood or something. There was a thought that it withdrew from crucifixion. If this understanding was prevalent, right? How can a holy and just God and the wrath and judgment against mankind be paid? Right?
Only a divine Savior can fully pay for the sins of the world. They could not rectify their thinking with the totality of Scripture. Right? They could take bits and pieces of Scripture, right? Many people do. They'll take a passage here, they take it out of context here, and they'll say, yeah, this is why. Right? I think also they had a problem with this. This was to solve belief. This thinking here was to solve belief in deity of Jesus and a monotheism view of God. But problems occur in Scripture of preexistence, what we looked at before, virgin birth, and the status of Jesus with God, the very essence of God. So things they miss here because they don't understand the totality of Scripture. Here's another one, Arianism. And this was condemned very early, but you see who picked it up. This is probably who pick it up and run with it, Jehovah Witnesses. Absolute uniqueness and transcendence of God, meaning only God. Based on biblical references that speak of Jesus' weakness and sufferings, not the same as of the Father. So they had a problem with Jesus being of the same essence or nature of Father, right? Because he went through weaknesses or sufferings. But how can you, again, go back to the importance of the deity of Christ paying, atoning for the sins of the world? You can't. It doesn't relate, right? So what does that come down to? And this is where I want us to kind of end with here. The implications of understanding and believing in the deity of Christ. So this is the... Why is it so important? Why does this impact me, the deity of Christ, understanding Christ and who he is, the Son of God? One is we can have a real knowledge of God. John 14:9 says, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Implications of understanding of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We have real knowledge of God. In Jesus, we can understand the love of God, the holiness of God, and the power of God to save. This is why it's important. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We understand God in his very nature and purpose. The love of God, the holiness of God, and the power of God to redeem. This is why it's important. What's something else that we understand? God and humankind has been reunited. Christ must have been perfectly human and had to be fully God. This has to be of utmost importance. Man's sin, therefore the penalty, had to be born of a man, but fully divine to atone for the sins of the world, right? 1 Corinthians 15:45. So it is written, the first man became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit. Hebrews 4:14-15. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast to our confession, what we believe. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. This is of utmost importance here. Jesus Christ, born of man, but fully divine, yet without sin, took upon the sins of the world to bring atonement. If he was born of Joseph, he was fully man, right? Would there be any divine nature? No, right? But born of Mary, incarnated by the Holy Spirit, yet without sin, can pay for the sins of the world. Hebrews 7:26-27. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become a hot and become higher than the heavens.
Interesting points here to just to talk about.
1 Peter 2:21, 24, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth.
Implications of understanding the full nature of Jesus Christ. Okay, what's another one here? Redemption is available to us. The death of Christ is sufficient for all sinners who have ever lived. The death of Christ, only a fully divine Savior, dying for you and I, is sufficient for all sinners who have ever lived. An infinite God who died for us. And just the thought of incarnation and the doctrine of atonement is very important when we think about this topic. Worship of Christ is appropriate. He is not merely the highest of all creation, but he is God in the same sense and degree as the Father, part of the Trinity. This is why we have to come and we remember, right? What did we do this morning? We remember not just Jesus Christ as a high moral man, but we remember him as Christ, as Lord, Kurios. As Lord, as Logos, fully God. The acceptance of deity of Christ is necessary for salvation. Think about that. The acceptance of the deity of Christ is necessary for salvation. He must be our Savior first, and he cannot be our Savior unless we accept his deity. Deity. He paid for it all, right? If he was not divine, he could not pay for it. But the Messiah came. As a lamb goes silent before his shears, right? He came. He went. He had a purpose to redeem mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. John 8:24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, I am he. What is he referring to? John chapter 8 is talking about him talking to the Pharisees about him himself as the deity, as Christ, as Lord, as the Son of God. If you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins forever. You know, this is, again, this is how I would just like to look at John chapter 1 as a setup for the whole book of the Gospel of John. The thesis is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And how is that over and over again proved in this Gospel throughout Scripture? It is critical for our understanding. May it really encourage us to kind of think about these things and really meditate on them. And I encourage you to go look at listen to Mark's message again. Wonderful introduction of how does this impact you? Even if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, how does it impact you in worship? It should draw our hearts to be like, oh man, I'm in awe again. Lord, you saved me. That you would send your only begotten Son for me. It's amazing. And he paid for the sins of the world. Only Jesus Christ, Son of God, can do that. Again, I say this to all of you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Trust him today and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this word, Lord, that you have given us. May we draw upon these truths in your words, Lord. Not the words that I've shared, Lord, but what the Holy Spirit leads us to remember and meditate on. Lord, we want to worship and think about you every day in our lives, Lord. To be in awe of your majesty. To be in awe of the gospel message, Lord. How it touches our heart even today or even from the day that we placed our faith in you, Lord, may it be as fresh and as anew as when we first placed our faith in you, Lord. May we just worship you. May we give you all worship and surrender our hearts and our lives to you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, may your name be praised and glorified. May your words from your holy scriptures impact us continually, Lord. We thank you. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.